Ronnie laughed when he said, "It's the gift of mercy. You ought to be good at that, mushy gushy." And mushy gushy pastor. And he means that with all, I think he means it with all the respect that it deserves. It's hard to be in ministry for 20-something years and still leave yourself open to people. It's hard. But the only way that we can ever ask people to be open to us is to be open to them. We become a mirror of what we want, and if we go to someone closed, they see it and feel it, and they don't open. And so I'm trusting that the Lord will use our transparency, our openness, to help other people open. And I learned that from a pastor at a Cracker Barrel when I was feeling completely disqualified because I had been divorced. And we sat down, and I was all ready to tell him the whole story, and he told me his story. And his story was worse than my story. And the truth was, he already knew my story, but he didn't have to tell me his story. But he told me his story because he knew that I needed to hear that he knew where I had been. And grace was available from him. And so that's been a journey for me, a grace journey, a mercy journey. And so I've started studying and praying. I pray more than I study. I know some people think that's probably bad, but honestly, I think if you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, what we don't need is more information. What we might need more of is revelation. And so I'd rather give you a tad bit of revelation than a whole bunch of information, because you can get the information on Google, but you can't get the revelation from anywhere but the Holy Spirit. And so I want to give you the revelation. And if you already know it, then why aren't you up here speaking it? I wonder that sometimes. I actually said that to Samantha Steinman. I was like, everybody could preach if they just would. It's not really that hard. It's you study and you pray and you ask God to use you and you stand up in boldness and you say what God told you to say. It's very scary at first, but it's also very, very awesome when you see God use you in a way that's pretty cool. And you look out at people that are giants to you spiritually, and they're right there with you, agreeing with what God's saying through you. And that's really the way I feel about it. So the gift of mercy, I do love Pastor Ronnie for trusting me to preach on this. And I like definitions. Part of the reason I like definitions is because I think we take words for granted. I think we take words, not granted, but granted. I think we take words for granted. I think we know what words mean, but we forget what words really mean. And so when we're talking about certain words, we need to look at the definition again to see if what we think is what we know. And so I think that's good for the Bible too. You know, what you think you know about the Bible, you might want to go read it again. It might have changed. Now, do I think the Bible changes? No, but I guarantee you change, and you're going to read it differently if you go back and look at it. If you hadn't read a scripture in about 5 years, you're going to go back and look, and it's going to look different to you. You're going to wonder why you never saw it, because you're looking at it differently. Not that it's different, but you are. And so we're going to look at the definition of mercy, and that the one that I chose is it's compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Now, at first I was like, wait, I don't want to use that one. So I started looking for other ones. I want the Bible dictionary. I want to find one that says what I want it to say. But truthfully, I started looking at this, and I was like, wait, do I have the power to punish or harm someone? If you've been in the church long, you know the answer is yes to that. If you've been in the ministry long, you're guaranteed to know that. I think that all pastors and all ministers and all church people should take the Hippocratic Oath, where it says, first, do no harm. Before we give our opinion, we need to give our every word we're fixing to say to the Lord and consider what we're fixing to say, whether it's going to come out as an ointment or come out as a poison. And we can say the same thing, and sometimes it means different to other people. And so there's no one answer we can give to every question. You have to consider who's in front of you. And so We do have the power to punish or harm. And so I like to go to the Bible when I preach. I think it's pretty important. And I think you should probably want that. If you have a youth pastor that doesn't do that, get another one. So compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Now, students, I know that y'all may think that I'm just talking to adults, but I believe y'all can understand everything I'm fixing to say. So I want you to pay attention, okay? And I know there's some students over here, but mainly you're over here. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. So immediately when I asked the Lord, what is that? Where do you want me to go? John chapter 20, verse 23 popped into my head, and it says this: if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This was after Jesus had resurrected. Jesus said that his disciples, after he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," said that if they forgave sins, they would be forgiven. If they didn't forgive sins, they would not be forgiven. So let's look at that mercy definition one more time. It's forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Mercy. Jesus gave us the absolute desire and call to have mercy. Not to feel mercy, but to give it. To give forgiveness. And he also says that when you give forgiveness, they're forgiven. When someone's guilty of a thing, you can say, guess what? You're forgiven. Now, my Baptist mind goes, wait, that's Jesus' job to forgive. Yes, it was, and he did on the cross. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21, it says this: and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Now listen. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Our job, our mission, is to represent Christ, is to be Christ on the earth. It changes church membership. It changes life group. It changes how you treat the person at the drive-thru. It changes how you treat everyone when you consider yourself God's ambassador. And what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to forgive others. What if you can't? I don't want to hear that, because you can. And the reason that I know you can is because Jesus died on the cross so that you could. Just like I'm not so sure that I have the gift of healing, but if someone needs healing and I'm willing to operate in the gift of the Holy Spirit and pray for healing for that person, they will receive what they need if they have the faith and we go about it right. Now, trust me, I prayed for people and they've died. I mean, I have, not immediately. That would be a game changer. I'd have to rethink what I said. And then I'd have to really have the gift of mercy to not use that on other people every now and then. All right, come here, let me pray for you real quick. Let me help you and everybody else in the whole world. Man, y'all know, every one of y'all got somebody in mind right now. You're like, yep. Some of them go here, yep. That's all right. We're supposed to love each other. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. How dare we not give mercy when we've been freely given mercy? I don't get it. If we're Christians, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We know what He's done for us. Why do we cut? I don't get it. Why do we cut everybody? Instead of just lifting them up, we're not His ambassador if we're not doing what He did. I think that we can change. I said last night that mercy was my weakness before I came to Christ. I was a bully. I was a real turd. I was the guy that everybody went, ugh, full of myself, man. It's hard when you're this good looking. Maybe I need to rephrase that. It was hard when I was that good looking. And humble. Man, I was really humble. Let's get into the main text. You're like, we got 12 minutes. Okay, here we go. Y'all listen fast, I'll preach fast. Y'all ready? Luke chapter 18, verse 35 through 43. I've got 3 points on this, and I've got 12 minutes, so I got 4 points a minute. I mean, yeah. Yeah, whatever. For every 3 points, I've got 3 subpoints. What in the world? I'm becoming a preacher. But y'all don't see this, so you don't know it, so I could just skip, but I'm not going to do it. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the people in front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Verse 43 says, instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus praising God. And all who saw it praised God too. I want you to see yourself in this passage of Scripture. We're going to cover 3 different things. We're going to cover Jesus. We're going to cover the beggar. We're going to cover the crowd. And in this room are all of us. Sometimes we're Jesus. Sometimes we're the beggar. Sometimes we're the crowd. Let's look at Jesus. Number one, in verse 35, it says, Jesus draws a crowd. People like to be around Jesus. They enjoyed His company. They didn't take an aisle. They didn't go past the aisle when they saw Him at Walmart. If He was sitting next to them, near them in church, they would go out of their way to say hello. Jesus would do that too. Second, said when he heard what was happening, he said, what is this? He said, Jesus of Nazareth is going by. And what did he start doing? He started shouting. Jesus had a good reputation. Jesus' reputation was good. This man had never seen Jesus, but he had heard about him. And the one thing that he knew that Jesus had was what he called for. And it was mercy. And he started to shout. The third thing, Jesus made time for the beggar. Jesus was on his way somewhere. I think we can learn something from that. Jesus wasn't at his life group or at church. He was on his way somewhere. I think true discipleship, the next wave of discipleship will happen as we're on our way somewhere. I think every one of us should be able to disciple someone on our way somewhere. instead of having to come to the church to do it or depend on Angie to come up with a group that we appreciate and liked enough to come to it. Maybe just live out Jesus in front of others and they would want to be around us. And then as we go, they go, and we do what Jesus did. It's a novel thought. Jesus made time for him. He stopped. He set his face on this man. And he had compassion on him, because that's what mercy is. The last thing, Jesus was intentional. Notice Jesus asked the man what he wanted. Shouldn't Jesus know? Shouldn't Jesus know? He wanted to know what the man wanted. Because he was a blind beggar. What did he want? Did he want his need met? Or did he want his immediate need, which was what he was begging for? Or did he want his forever need, his real need? See, I think so many times we ask people to pray for something that's really not what we need them to pray for. Because we're afraid to really confess what we really need. And so we ask people if they would just cut our grass and not dig our roots. Kids, this is what that means. Like the real problem, we don't deal with it. We just deal with the surface. When a preacher says, we just cut the grass and don't dig out the roots, the grass does what? When you cut the grass, it does what? When you dig it up, it does what? It goes away. Okay, that's what that means. When you hear preachers speak like that, that's what that means. I'm sorry, I got into preacher speak. But Jesus was intentional. He said, what do you want me to do for you? This blind man that they're leading up, it's obvious Jesus. I think we could take a cue from that. Let's not be so quick to rush to think that we know what somebody else might need. Let's just ask them, what can I do for you? And on the flip side, don't expect your pastors to know what you need. Don't expect for us to know what you need. Help us. Tell us. Novel thought. We are not mind readers. And God can use your confession to bring about your healing and maybe not even need us. Just saying. Now let's look at the blind beggar. I'm right on time. Verse 38 and 39, what does he do? He starts shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This man been blind for a long, long time. Son of David, have mercy. When that didn't work, he didn't say, well, I guess Jesus don't work. He just kept shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Please. He refused to be silent about his need. Now, let me caveat that. Everybody don't need to hear about your need. Okay, some of y'all telling everybody you need, and they're really tired of you. Maybe that's for the people online, but I'm just saying. Don't put it on Facebook. God don't need to know your need on Facebook. Verse 40 and 41, he identified his true need. He needed so many other things. If Jesus was in front of you, what would you need? Students, what do you need? Now, what do you want? What do you need? And you need to ask yourself that, because when you approach Jesus, you need to understand that just as this blind man was face to face with Jesus, we can still get to Jesus this way. And we're dealing with all these surface issues. God, just bless me in my house, blah, 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 bless. God, make me disciplined so that I don't need necessarily a blessing. I just need to get up and do some stuff. God, help me to lose all this weight. Well, quit eating junk. God, make me disciplined. Help me be like Paul and beat my body every day that it comes into submission. Not God bless me, but God use me. God use this. The third thing is a true encounter with Jesus caused him to do three things. It caused him to believe, it caused him to follow Christ, and it caused him to praise God. And I want to tell you, if you've been that blind beggar and you've had an encounter with God, but you have a hard time still believing in him, and you have a hard time following him, and you have a hard time praising him, then you may have had an encounter like the tares. You were planted, but you weren't planted in him. What that is, students, the tares and the wheat. Tares grew up, looked like wheat, didn't have fruit, which means they weren't Christians. Y'all got that? Donovan, you got it? What about Tommy? Is he awake? Tommy! Wake up, buddy! Hey, Saber, I know you're probably watching online. Tommy's good. He's right here. We just identified him. He's awesome. I love him like crazy, and he will not go back to sleep. Lastly, let's look at the crowd. If Brian, if y'all want to come up real quick, that'd be great as we go over this last one real quick. Let's look at the crowd. Number one, they were following Jesus. They were following Jesus. So there was a large crowd around Jesus. Number two, they told the beggar to be quiet. I'm really praying for what God you wants me to say right here, and here's what he wants me to say, I think. Unless you know what someone else is going through, don't judge what they do. Don't judge what they say, and don't judge how loud they do it or how wild they say it. Because you may not know how deep their need is and how much they need what they're crying out for. And the truth is, in that crowd were blind people. Because they couldn't see what was around them, and I'm afraid that in the church we've become blind. It says that we're blind in 1 John. It says that we're blind when we aren't able to see to help others. And we've got to see others. And we've got to see them with the eyes of mercy and compassion, the eyes that Jesus had. We've got to see that when these people and kids, when y'all, students, when y'all are at school, you've got to see that the kid that you don't understand may have a life that you never will understand. We need to stop judging what people look like about who, and saying that's who they are. Trust me, we all have that fear that we're less than what we want to be. We all have that fear that we're just not doing the good enough job, that we're just this far away from being obedient to Christ in a way that's going to lead people to Him. Followers of Christ, we cannot be like this crowd who when somebody really had a need, we not only didn't help them get to Jesus, we told them to sit down and shut up. how easy was it for them because they could see Jesus? We're always this close to being these people. We're always this close. We're this close to our flesh. We're this close to who we think we are and what we think we deserve. That's why we have to be dependent on Christ. That's why our hearts need to be like this blind beggar every day and say, Jesus, have mercy on me, because I can't see. I can't see what you want me to do. You got to show me. I can't see how you want me to do it, but you got to show me. He knows. Lastly, when the crowd saw what happened with Jesus and this blind man, they began to praise God because somebody had the boldness to cry out to Jesus in their need. Listen, church, we need to be bringing needy people to Jesus. It needs to be our one. Not the person that you like, that you wished was here, but the person that you know that needs to be here. Then Abba's house will truly turn and become what God intends it to be. A house of mercy, filled with weak people who are dependent on the Holy Spirit. So in this room, there's some of you that are representatives of Christ. You're ambassadors for Christ, and I know some of you, and you're awesome. Maybe all of you, I'm just saying. Hopefully we're all ambassadors of Christ. But there's some of us that are that blind beggar, and we got a need, and we don't know what to do about it. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming around. And then unfortunately, there's some in the crowd that's the crowd. Afraid to step up and step out and do anything to hurt anything. I don't want us to be that way. So here's what I want us to do. If you have a need, sermon you've identified, I just want you to raise your hand. Raise it up high. Now, keep it up. We've got Jesus people in here. I need as many hands, I need that many Jesuses. I need the people that are going to be Jesus to these people to go to them right now, right now. Go to the person with a hand up. Ask them what they need and pray for the need. Ask them what they need and pray for the need. I'm not going to call you out and ask people to do it, but we've got people that I guarantee you walk with Jesus and are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they can absolutely touch you and help you right now. We've got one right here. As we sing, there's a couple more. Raise your hands up high so people can see. We got some right here at the front. I don't want this to be a weird time. Ask them what it is and do what it is. But we're going to sing. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes. Let's get this done in Jesus' name. Now, if you're part of the crowd, stay silent and pray. Just stay silent, pray, and watch. Stay silent, pray, and watch. Or better yet, sing with us. We're going to sing through this song. Sing with us. Don't just sit there and watch unless you're waiting to witness what God's doing. Let's sing.